Welcome to the Concordia Publishing House podcast, where we consider everything in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm your host, Elizabeth Pittman. Today on the show, we're joined by the Reverend Mark Kiesling to talk about the challenges and opportunities facing youth ministry today. In a nutshell, it boils down to relationships. Reverend Mark Kiesling is the director of the Office of Youth Ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Welcome, Mark. We're glad that you could be with us today.
Thanks, Elizabeth. It's great to be here with you and to be able to talk about life going on in this unusual time, but yet how the gospel continues to be shared and people continue to look to Jesus in these difficult times.
I do think we're going to look back one day and we're going to see the fruit of these seeds that are being sown right now with the gospel, because it's amazing when you see the creativity that's happening in every aspect of ministry.
Absolutely. I think we saw that a lot. We love to hear the stories of young people raising to the level of leadership. All of a sudden, they're like, hey, you're in our world. We're used to this technology thing. This is how we communicate. And so to see so many of them being asked to get sermons online or whatever it was, to up the game maybe in social media. And so a lot of ways for them to use their gifts and to be able to help the church as they shared the gospel and build community too, amongst members and amongst people too. So it was neat to see.
It's amazing. I mean, our young people are so creative and so they're passionate about everything that they do. And they, you know, I think we're seeing with this younger generation, they really do feel deeply and they want to be involved and they want to help with everything that they're doing. I had the opportunity to talk with a number of people who are involved in youth ministry in different capacities. And I mentioned that I was going to be talking to you and I said, what would you want to hear him talk about? And across the board, it all boiled down to a couple of things. One, how do we build community and strengthen our relationships with our youth and to the greater church, not just among the youth? We don't want to keep them isolated. Mm-hmm. And then how do we raise up volunteers and leaders who are willing to come alongside our youth? And those are important. I think those are key topics when youth ministry is quote unquote normal.
Right.
And I think there's a whole new layer of those, how we work through those topics now in 2020. I'm going to just let you launch from there and we'll go.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, certainly there's not silver bullet for those things, but great challenges and also I think opportunities. And I think that's where I feel a lot of angst coming from maybe youth workers right now. I don't think anyone really anticipated we'd be here, you know, 6 months out and still dealing with these things. And so, you know, I think there were some phases of energy. We got through Holy Week together as a church, it felt like. We got through the rest of the school year. We kind of took a break in summer and like, now it's time. It's confirmation time. It's Christian education time. It's all these things where it's like, man, what's that next step? And you got tired parents. You got young people trying to figure out school. It may be a different phase. So there's just a lot going on right now. And certainly the church can be that place to walk alongside young people, along families, and show grace and empathy right now in doing that and building those relationships and keeping those relationships. So I think both for building that community, I love, I mean, you kind of touched on it. I think we have a lot of congregations who are really taking some time to look at the beauty of intergenerational ministry and not, this is not a time to let's isolate young people. This is a time for us to rally around them and support them. And what a joy it is to be able to do that too, I think, as adults and as parents, and to watch them, like you said, use their gifts and be able to help them flourish at this time and be empathetic to what's going on with all the transitions and changes and uncertainty right now for our high school students and junior high students and college students too, and walking alongside them. So I think that's a great place to start, is to be thinking about a time to rally, and rather than maybe think about youth ministry being so isolated, but yet how is relationships being built with parents and with other adults, and inviting both sides, the young people and the adults, into that conversation and those times together, time in God's word, time and enjoyment and fellowship as well. And right now, a lot of that's probably going to be online, trying to figure that out maybe, find those connection times when there's probably some fatigue of that. So I appreciate too, congregations that are getting creative, finding ways to social distance and get together. All of a sudden, boy, that parking lot, it becomes an extension of the church in a lot of ways. Yeah, I live close to our church. I'm amazed when I go out running now or just walking around, it seems like it's being used a lot, which is awesome, by different groups. So utilizing that to be able to see just people, man, I can't believe the joy of seeing people face to face that I haven't seen in a long time. And just being able to share those times, get caught up, and be able to be in relationship with them. And so I think that's a beautiful thing that churches can capitalize on. And now maybe have to go into a new phase of being creative that way, because it's been a long time since you've been able to do that. And I think there's more probably flexibility in a lot of parts of the country to be able to do that. So, and I think, you know, on that too, then, you know, that intentionality that I think congregations need to try to kind of show right now of young people who are going through some tough transitions, some times of uncertainty, notes, texts, checking in with them. I'm trying to hold myself accountable on that and getting a list of young people to write out to in our church that I maybe don't even know that well, just to know I've been certainly been praying for them through all of this. And just so that they know that personally, that that's happening in their church. And that, you know, hopefully we can be there again to support them in many various ways as they walk through these times of both joy, but also struggle too. So I think it takes that time, I think, for congregations really to invest in and get maybe some champions who are those who have the time and desire to really consistently do that. But then for all the people of God to have opportunities to reach out to young people and to share grace with them and be able to know that they have a church that cares for them.
I love that you're intentionally reaching out to the kids in your congregation. And I hope all of our congregations are doing that. And I know there's always a concern about time and staff, but at this stage, I think that having those intentional touches are so important. And it's and not just for youth, frankly, for everybody. And right. I think it's worth the time for our church workers to say, we're going to dedicate, you know, an hour each day to just connecting with people, as opposed to, you know, it used to be you could go and see everybody on Sunday mornings and you could give hugs and you could check right. How's it all going. And we don't have those opportunities now. And we really do need to, you know, and I'm just thinking in terms of our church staff, yes, preparing for what worship looks like and what Bible study looks like is different now. And that's taking energy that it may not have taken before, but we can't drop the ball on having one-on-one connections with our kids and with our young adults.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Beth, my wife and I have talked about that a lot in terms of like, just like, man, we realize how long it's been since we've seen somebody. And man, what joy it's going to be when we get to again, but at the same time, we get nervous too. Like, you know, what we think of so many congregations that maybe those relationship ties would be broken. What if they're not there? Like, we kind of want to make those lists of those people we want to be checking in on just to make sure everything's going okay. Cause we didn't have that regular weekly check-in at church or at a Christian education midweek piece, whatever it may have been. And just to know how they're doing. And so for congregations, you know, like I said, to be intentional about that. I think there's, you know, I'm sure probably anecdotally you could back this up, but I feel like from some churches who maybe had really those strong relational connections before going into something like a pandemic, whether it was maybe it was a smaller church or maybe it was a church that just where the church was maybe more of a central part of the life of a congregation because of the location or whatever it may have been, is that they may be more naturally kept those connections as they went in. So you have some churches who maybe say, we got to bear down into this and see maybe where there's some gaps in those relational ministries we had before. And let's use this as an opportunity to not say, well, that's just the way it is, but to say like, no, we're going to invest into that time now and build those relationships because this is when we need them. And then also to have those times, like you said, when we start coming back more in, is let's capitalize on this time getting back together. Let's make sure we check in with one another. Let's make sure, I mean, I think mental health and other things are going to mean big questions going ahead for churches and how you can support one another with unemployment, with other challenges that are coming with our young people as they go through these transitions. So what are those ways we can continue to engage in that conversation with our members and care for them spiritually?
I suspect that there are a lot of congregations, whether they realize it or not, are experiencing those gaps, and where they may have thought something was healthy, mm-hmm. they may be finding, or I hope they're finding that, oh, you know what, just because we had this robust, seemingly robust program, you know, everything has kind of collapsed now that that's been stripped away. And it really does go to show that it's the relationship. The programs need to serve the relationships, and we need to start with those relationships first. And you can throw I think you'll see this, you've probably experienced this, you can throw a program at anything, but if it's not serving the deepening of connections and relationships, it's really not going to have any long-term use.
Right. Yeah, we joked, we did a symposium a couple of years ago. We were just releasing the research that we had done, and we were talking about we saw how the importance of relationship was so key in keeping young people connected in the church and for their resilient faith. So someone at attendance in a joking way said, okay, but what's the program that develops relationships?
It's a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah. And so they did it tongue in cheek, but it was so true about like, that's what we want to find is what's the program that can make this happen. And that's where, you know, relationships are so beautiful. I mean, that gets us into, you know, the struggles and joys of everyday life, and be able to walk alongside a young person or anybody through these things. And those take time, that takes investment. But man, is it so worth it. And such a blessing to be able to do that. So I think it's right. Exactly to your point is that when we were doing this very early on in the pandemic with churches, there was a lot of evaluation going on, for sure. In terms of people were saying, wow, people did not miss this program that we were doing. And yet all of a sudden this other program is showing its fruit because the relational ties are so tight amongst the people who are doing it. So they're the ones like, we got to figure out Zoom. We got to figure this out because we miss each other. We're doing a text group now that we never would have done before because they just missed and loved their fellow brother, sister in Christ. And they figured it out. And so there was a lot of evaluation, I think, going on in congregations, you know, people finding out the importance. We got to bring the people together in worship. Whether it was online, whether it was finding out how you can creatively do it with social distancing in the parts of the country that could still do it, because they know that importance of being coming together around Christ's gifts and to be able to be in a community was so important during a time like that. So I think, again, you saw with those relational connections were so important in those ministry areas.
Well, what's great is that you don't need a lot of resources. You don't need a lot of money, monetary resources or space resources. It really does boil down to, you know, human beings being human beings. We need to care for our neighbor, and you can go grab a lawn chair and sit in your friend's lawn and have that connection. And you don't need, you've got the church parking lot. You've got these places where you can come together. How can we get away from thinking in terms of programs and encourage the nurturing of relationships?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a couple of things that I would probably lift up is to be thinking about, one, those places and spaces where in your congregation, in your situation, that you can kind of just open that up to maybe some open talk and dialogue, and maybe just have some discussion questions, you know, maybe, you know, whether there is a pastor or church worker who's able to do this or be available, or to find a lay person who's comfortable with this. You might have a small word, of certainly scripture and of reassurance in it. But I think probably there's some people that just kind of want to talk through what's happened and process a little bit, especially again, if that's a context where you haven't been able to have that happen a lot. So just find those spaces where you can creatively do that and be open to that and be responsible in it. But then also too, I mean, I think a lot of spaces that can still be done virtually if people aren't completely exhausted from it. And be able to just have a space where people can come together and talk and get to know one another. I think this is really a chance again for churches to take advantage of this time. And there might be some times to confess and say, we realize we haven't done this very well in the past. And we need to be doing it and take that time to assess that and to come back strong in that way and be okay with that. Live in the gospel, live in grace, ask for forgiveness from that and figure that out moving ahead. And really take advantage of this unique time in the life of the world and of our congregations to be able to do that. So I think to find those spaces to really invite people into that. I think too, you probably have some real champions that's their gift. That's how God's created them to be relational, to be outreach focused, even within the membership of the congregation, and to have them spearhead that and to find those places to make sure you're checking in with your membership, kind of just be able to keep a, you know, spreadsheet and a tally and make sure that you've reached out spiritually to care for them and see how they're doing, and see how they connect. So to really make that a movement, to make that step, to intentionally do that, whether it's with young people, families, whoever it may be, to be able to have that connection. And then I think there's some things too that really we can be doing. It might be old mode operations of there's some good tried and true things that we did in ministry that are making a comeback, which is great. Snail mail, other things like that, just to be able to reach out to members and be able to know that they're being cared for. And so can you help? If you've got a young person who really likes to serve people, is to give them some projects and say, here's five shut-ins that we have in our church. Can you write them a note? They get to learn new skills. And at the same time, they get to share the gospel and love with a fellow brother or sister in Christ. And so I know that, like you said, that takes time. I mean, it really does. I mean, we know church workers are working a lot right now. But just kind of some other ideas that maybe some lay people as their schedule shift now a little bit, maybe they got a little bit more time or different time that they can help with. These might be some ideas that they can do to bring young people into that conversation as well as to support them too.
I want to circle back to one thing that you said that I think is important, and it's easy to overlook. You mentioned outreach within the congregation. And I think mm-hmm. often when congregations are thinking about outreach, they're thinking outside of the existing church membership. And that's important. And I don't want to downplay that. But I think what we've seen in these last months is that we have opportunity right now within our own congregations to make sure that we are keeping ourselves strong. And I think, and that it really, it's a fine point, but if you're not intentionally connecting in between Sunday and Sunday, no matter how that looks, with people in your congregation, that's going to affect your overall health down the road. And I think we're going to see, you know, on the other side of all of this, that there may be people, I've seen studies where people who had been in church regularly haven't even attended an online service or haven't right. done anything online. And that should frighten our congregations, because what's going to make that person want to come back when they've realized, oh, maybe I really haven't missed anything.
Absolutely. I think that's some of the sides of how long now this is extended into, is that seeing some of those statistics, how many church members haven't engaged. And like you said, there's the real positive things too. Some people have been reached with the gospel in a way that they never have been before, because now it was on their Facebook feed, or there's a new way to invite people into church and to hear the gospel. So there's some exciting things too. But I think that's something, like you said, that is one of these pieces where that intentionality of inviting back in and making those connections and the love of Christ for our members to do that. I think another thing too, like talking about strengthening ourselves, I mean, we see with younger generation, this will be, you know, arguably the least church going young generation, you know, for a number of generations now. And so more and more our Lutheran Christian young people are with friends whom they love and they care about, who are not going to know the church. They're not going to know Jesus. And they are, you know, so many ways missionaries in their context. And so how we can strengthen them, probably to reach that generation, it's going to be less and less inviting them to the church and expecting they're going to show up for something, but more it's going to be that individual young person who, through a situation like a pandemic, is living in joy despite the difficulties and can point to Christ in these times and to again speak that there is a God that loves them in the middle of all this and these transitions, even though it's hard. It's not, doesn't make it easy, but it's hard, but yet they've got that peace and joy that's beyond them, outside of them, that Christ can bring. And so I think they become, again, this conduit for a generation to be able to share the gospel with them. And there are going to be new contexts that they're going to be learning now in these next months, but to continue to strengthen them and their work too. And so we strengthen the body so that they can outreach to other young people who are going to be going through some difficult times and are.
So we're, for our listeners, we're recording this on the morning of September 11th, and September 11th shaped an entire generation. And right. I think the same way, just as you described, this current generation of young people coming up, this pandemic will definitely shape their lives. And we need the church to help strengthen them as much as we can right now. Your office at Youth Ministry has done a significant amount of important research in terms of youth and millennials and what that looks like for Generation Z. And in addition to relationships, another piece that you found to be significant that also echoes what our youth leaders are asking about is, you know, leadership and volunteers and the importance of those leaders for the lifetime faith and of right. our kids. So talk to me a little bit about the importance of our leaders who work with our kids and why their commitment really matters and how we need to think about that differently right now, because I mean, it was hard to recruit volunteers before. Now it's wildly different.
Correct. Yeah. I think one thing that we certainly definitely saw in our research was, I'll say this twofold for those, like you said, that might seem like that's pretty daunting, is that we saw the beauty of adults who invested in young people who weren't necessarily the ones that were going to go do the lock-in or necessarily go do the week-long servant event. That's just not their thing. But man, when they could get in touch with them in a time like this and say, like, just tell me what's going on with sports, with school, like what's happening, because of love. And to be invited to, this is how, they might need a little encouragement. This is how you show love for a young person right now, is to reach out, just listen to them, be empathetic to them, or to walk alongside them, to show your emotion when you are so happy to see them again in worship. I'm going to be able to celebrate that and be able to check in with them. And so that when the Holy Spirit works through those relationships and to be able to show that they're cared for in that way. So I think one time it's just for people to understand, like we saw it in the research that those times of checking in, those times of praying, I mean, man, the power of prayer for our young people to be able to show support, to take time after church just to greet them was huge, to know that the church cared for them and that there was a place for them as they transitioned out of high school into other places. The church was a place they wanted to be because they knew their church is a place of warmth and grace. And so how key that could be. So that's one side that I say to all adults is that you play a significant role in the life of young people staying connected to the church and don't downplay that. And that's everything from the pastor to church workers to lay people to family members all along the board. I think the other thing on the intentionality side is that certainly we understand that from we live in a busy society. And one, I am curious, like you talked about a pandemic to kind of shape a generation. I'm curious too. We're trying to watch, maybe not so much research in the LCMS, but larger ones who are conducting this as, you know, where are priorities right now? And is there some kind of new awakenings to say, okay, maybe the busyness piece, we did okay without having that busyness. And then we actually enjoyed being together as a family. We enjoyed having these things. So there might be some, again, recalculation of that going ahead as we look into, and don't take that for granted, that there might be some really good opportunities to ask for people to invest in youth ministry or ministry to young people. Whether it's from Sunday school programs to whatever it might be, that this might be a really key time to have that conversation with some people who say like, oh man, now I see the importance of this and I want to get involved. And what we really saw from those adults who invest kind of maybe more intentionally in that way was ways that they, thought about long-term relationships. So it's not just a relationship with this young person for 4 years of high school or 6 years if you add in middle school. But I think social media is a great way for this to happen. But like, how are you already starting to think of that young person and you're praying for their future marriages and careers and as parents or other vocations they're going to be in? And how are you starting to talk to them in that way and show them about this is how we continue to live in Christ through these transitions and into these different vocations and times in life, phases in life, and to keep those connections that, I mean, I love that for, that's one thing I'd love to see churches do more is to understand, man, when that young person was baptized, confirmed, raised in your church, that's our home church. That's where, you know, that seed was planted. That's where it was watered. That's where it was pruned. Let's keep those relationships and have that pride and desire to stay connected to the daughters and sons of our congregation in that way and keep those relationships going.
There might be congregations that do this. I've not seen it in congregations that I've been a part of. And it's common to have prayer partners matched up with our confirmation kids. How cool would it be if we set those prayer partners at baptism?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And maybe more than one. Maybe you pick two or three people who, when a new child is baptized, they start right then and there. How powerful could that be?
Powerful. And I think, you know, and sometimes it takes that intentionality to develop relationships that way. That's okay. And I think that's a beautiful thing to be thinking about that through all those phases in life they have. That, you know, it's kind of like a second level of godparents a little bit, that, but it's from the church itself that are there to see them every week, to know they're missing maybe, and to be able to connect and say, We want to see you. We desire to see you. We want you to receive Christ's gift of forgiveness and be in community this way. So I think it's a great way to think about it, to start it early on, to build those relationships at a very early age. Because like we see that too with successful youth ministry so often, it's on the shoulders of successful children ministry and middle school ministry because those relationships are built. So that transition to high school ministry is much easier that way. And I think in that too, I mean, one thing we saw was, we talked about it before, was the beauty of intergenerational connections. And that's one way that can happen. And so young people get to see models at different phases of life of walking with Jesus and walking in the church. And so that's a beautiful thing. And I think the other thing we saw too were churches that, again, intentionally were there to walk with young people through transitions, through crises maybe like we are now, but then also joys to celebrate victories in life and to celebrate transitions that are exciting in life. And so the church is there to let them know that they care for them during those times. So, I mean, that's where we saw, again, that those that maybe spend a little bit more time investing in are some things that key on are, again, look to those times. There are those natural times in a young person's life that they're going to go through, keep transition and maybe some crisis and trying to figure out, you know, as we look at their identity in Christ, that they're trying to maybe figure that out a little bit, moving ahead vocationally. But then there's some of those unexpected ones too. And we saw beautifully in the research when Christians or the church stepped into those gaps, man, that made a lasting impression on a young person. The Holy Spirit worked through that time to remind them that you are baptized. God is with you. He's got you through this situation. And to see people walk with him through that was a beautiful thing.
And I think everything that you've said underscores the importance of not segregating our children and youth ministry off into it's, oh, they're down in the youth room. That's where they'll be. We'll see them, you know, all of a sudden one day they're adults and they pop up in the middle of everything. What are some ways that we can be intentional about including our youth and our young people in the everyday goings on of the church so that they have a chance to grow up as leaders?
Yeah, actually, it's a good point. That was actually another key part of our research when we talk about some of the practices was that churches who engage young people in leadership opportunities. And that's everything from, you know, we were, that's a very broad definition. We use leadership, but really you're talking service, you know, in a church. So that's everything from, I love it. Like at our church, we've got young people who start ushering at a young age. And so they're walking alongside other adults, learning how to do that, just building those relationships, you know, acolyting, serving at church during the worship service. It's just a great way to get them connected and just for them to be seen. I mean, that's what I like. Like all of a sudden, I mean, Beth and I, my wife and I often say a lot of times, like, oh my goodness, they're old enough to acolyte. That's so cool. Like they're growing up so fast. And so like, you just, it's a great check-in time to be able to see that and to be able to see them go through phases of life. So just for them to have that opportunity, you know, some might do, you know, if they got lay leaders to be able to read scripture, to be part of that. Some that really are, you're starting to see their gifts. And so, man, how can they be involved in helping maybe with children's ministry at time if they're not in an own class themselves or helping with VBS? Start tapping them on the shoulder and say, you've got an amazing gift to work with young people. Like, we want to utilize that. Like, we want you to lead and help us do this. I think another thing too, for those that, depending on the structure of your church, and you don't want it to be a token spot by any means, but when they've got those leadership abilities, you know, we just went through a call process, have them in those conversations about this is how the church works, this is how the church functions. And we want the voice of the young people to be heard, and whether that's in their own forums or to make sure they're being shown up in the other forums, that they'll be able to hear this. I think one thing that I've learned about probably like just bringing young people into this group that sometimes we don't do well as the church, we don't explain the why very well sometimes. And I think opportunities to do that help us do that. This is why we do things as either our specific little LCMS church and our structure, or this is how the broad church does things, and to be able to explain the why. Because that time's probably going to come at some point. Young people are going to ask, why do we do this? And the more we can use that language and explain it, I think the better that it'll be. The transparency will be there, and the invitation will be there to be a part of those leadership roles. So I mean, really invite congregations to look through the opportunities they have to serve and say, how are we either opening that up to young people, or to go to maybe some of the older adults or adults who are doing it to say, hey, here's a challenge to you. We want you to find one young person to mentor in that role you have, because you're not going to be able to do it forever. And really your role now is to mentor someone else into that leadership role. And so how can you make that intergenerational relationship happen? But then also you bring it up new leadership and help young people understand. It may not be at this church, but when you're an adult, you're going to be able to serve now in this way because you understand how it works, and you can take that experience into another congregation and the church be blessed by that.
It's so fun to see young people helping. My son has been on the rotation for reading scripture now for probably 3 years now. Wow. And well, he's a teenager now, so he gets grumpy about being told to do something. Every single time without fail, after he has read the scripture, 1 to 2, 3 people always stop me afterwards and mention how nice it is to see a young person doing something like that and be involved. And so it's church staff might think it's a small thing, but it is really, really significant to keep our youth involved and invested in their congregation.
Yeah. Well, I think it speaks volumes to, you know, those different places that say there's a place for you now. You're a part of the church now. And there's a place for you in the future too. And they, I think they'd be able to see that, to say like, when I'm an adult, I get to be that mentor to either maybe my own child or to another child in the congregation. And that's just something that happens. And I think that used to be built into churches, you know, before we were a mobile society, that was just naturally built into our congregations. You had generational families and stuff that would do that. There was, I think, that order in which that happened. And we're just not in that society anymore. And so now churches need to intentionally look at how that happens and to see themselves as the family of God. And how do we raise people up that way? And so I think that can be a significant step.
For our youth, you know, it's become cliche, but there's so many people and families that, confirmation comes, we're done. Yep. How can we help our families and our young people understand that it's not, you know, our faith and being a part of our community is not something that, you know, we graduate from, but it's a lifelong journey that we're constantly being built up into.
Yeah, I'd say two things about that. Is one, I was just going to say what you just said, is that to start that foundation from the get-go, that our whole life is a journey with Christ. And so we never outgrow the faith. We always want to paint that vision and that that plan, if you will, for families that, you know, this is how one lives in the church and lives in lives with Christ for a lifetime and into eternity. And so one that we use that language a lot in our teaching, we point to that and really have those times where we, I think, probably have some really honest conversations about it too, about this. Let's be honest. These are times when we see young people walking away from the church after confirmation. What are we going to do about it? Instead of just wringing our hands and walking away after high school, another time too. What are we doing intentionally to make sure we are loving on those young people as they make that transition and keeping them connected to their home church, but then also to their future church? So it's really, I think, some intentional action in those areas to do that. I think planning, I mean, that's one thing that we're trying to help churches a little bit to think through, your Christian education plan, through that spiritual formation plan, is so that, again, it doesn't look like it's this hard stop at confirmation and then like, we don't know what we do. And one of it is to say, I think churches are doing a great job of this, but it's not that as though you get through confirmation and then like the learning stops. But yeah, then how are we continuing Christian education and learning into high school years when they're asking tough questions? And how is the church to be the place to not necessarily feel that every adult or every parent has to have every answer, but at least to be a place where they can come and bring their questions and they're received with empathy and with understanding. And then to be in the Word together, talk about history, talk about these things, to be able to look deeply into these tough issues that, man, I mean, young people are seeing it in our society, they're complicated and they're tough and they want to talk about it. And when the church doesn't want to talk about it, they're like, well, why, how's faith relevant then in this when these are big problems that I care a lot about?
They're big problems, but we're also seeing our youth who are watching all of this and they're recognizing, who do we trust?
Right, exactly.
We don't trust what we're seeing on the news. We don't trust, you know, what I'm reading. Where do I find an adult or somebody else that I can trust who will talk with me, who will be empathetic and understand what I'm experiencing?
Absolutely. And to be able to sit in that kind of ambiguity sometimes and be able to say, it's complicated. Even, you know, I'm sure we saw this in the pandemic. Even as the body of Christ, we have disagreements about this right now. Is this small little church, maybe local church? We have disagreements about how to handle this. And yet we're still together. And that's how we keep our unity. And this is how we come and have these tough conversations. And I think our young generation already needs to see that more than maybe previous generations, because it is so much now more in their face with media and social media and everything else. And now, you know, a pandemic is obviously affecting their life very much. This is not an adult issue. Our young people are dealing with it on a tremendous level right now. And so how do we be a place of empathy and conversation for that to happen? And so I think that's a key part too, as they're coming out of that time, is like, we want the church to continue to be this place where we're going to talk about tough issues, not going to ignore them. And we're going to do that in the love of Christ and in the truth of God's word. And that you know, can certainly take some work to do that. But yet I think some really great fruit can come out of that. And then I would just say the other thing about that, just to take one angle of your question, we didn't see this in our research, but we've seen it in other research, is that, you know, certainly confirmation is not a silver bullet to get young people back in the church. But if they come in for confirmation and they weren't very active before confirmation, they're statistically could probably be pretty inactive afterwards, unless, again, you really do a lot of work to make the confirmation program be one where the family gets involved and the young person sees this as a blessing, not as necessarily like, I'm just dropping my kid off to get confirmed. So the other thing we would say too is that, again, said this before, is that, boy, we want those families to be involved before confirmation gets there. So how are we pouring into our children's ministry? How are we inviting them in, getting them connected that way so that confirmation isn't the first time that all of a sudden this junior hires in church, but yet there's been that lifetime of check-in points and connection with the congregation.
Well, I think how can we, and you touched on something very important here, our kids need to see their parents and other adults actively nurturing their faith and participating in the church community. And if you have, you know, a family shows up for church, they don't stay for Sunday school or Bible class, mm-hmm. or they drop their kid off for Sunday school and they disappear for coffee, or like drop him off for confirmation and go kill time, that definitely sets the message that this is a kid thing and it's not for everyone. So how can we help? And then we need to keep our kids connected. I think if I remember from your research, retention was strongest if the child was connected and active all the way through high school graduation, where it continues. You can't have confirmation and all of a sudden the family, they might show up for church, but Bible study and time in the Word is not as active. How can we keep our families to where we have this thriving, active faith community happening all the time?
Right. Yeah, we did see. So we saw keys within Christian families, when young people had parents who were actively involved in worship. And we did active, kind of just from a statistical standpoint, we called active worshipers once a month, at least once a month. So some people, that doesn't sound like a really high bar, but yeah, nonetheless, we could see in the data when both for the young person themselves, as well as for like their families, when there was at least that much activity, that we saw the Holy Spirit work through that connection, which again, we go where Christ is, we know where Christ is promised to be, and we see the Holy Spirit work through that. And so that's a beautiful thing that we see those interactions happen. And what we actually saw, as much as that was the cutoff point, we saw certainly families that were much more active than that too, multiple times a month, if not every week. So we saw, again, high propensity to be in worship, prayer in the home, just as simple as meal prayers, just a great place to start if families aren't doing that, just to give thanks to God for His grace in our life and for the many ways that He takes care of us. So prayer, and these things kind of build on each other. And then there was Bible study in the home. And so being in the scripture together. So, I mean, great devotional resources. I know you guys have just many ways to get started. And I love hearing families wrestle with this and say, you know, we only got to it once this week. Praise God. Praise God you got to it once this week. That's okay. And when you start those things, there's going to be hopefully more and more rotation of that and movement of that to where there's going to be more, again, time of God's word, but just to start somewhere with that. And then the other thing we saw then is that when young people saw their parents as people that they could bring their questions to and their struggles with, and everything from faith and just in life. And sometimes I think parents, like I think you maybe mentioned this before, sometimes parents, I think, want to be the one to say like, well, when I ask a question or when I ask them, I want to hear the answer right back. And that's just not the way it works. But it's to have that open conversation so that when they're ready to ask the question and they're ready to talk, they have a listening ear to be able to do that, and in a trusting ear. Because I think we could take a whole other podcast on what you said before about trust, is that I think young people they cling onto those trusting relationships because there's so much in the world right now. They either wrestle with whether they can trust it or they know they can't trust it, whether it's data, whether it's news, whatever it is. And so when they have those trusting relationships, those are really key. And just to be able to be there to listen and take their questions, and then as appropriately and as we have the answers in God's word, to point them there. And sometimes, you know, that answer is we don't know. That's we're not God, and we don't know those things. And if help them rest in that, that's a part of being in our sinful condition, and part of being human is that we don't know everything, but we trust in a God and His promises that He's taking care of us. And that's an opportunity to open up that conversation with them.
And it's okay for us adults. As adults, to be vulnerable.
Yes.
And we shouldn't be afraid to say, you know what, I don't know, but and it's a good learning lesson too, right? I don't know the answer, but let's talk about how we can go find an answer
right. And
exactly. Together. So that's important. Listeners, we'll have Mark back on to do an episode on trust. So you should put yourself on the hook for that. So I appreciate everything that you've said today. And as you've mentioned, there's so much here in the research that your office has uncovered that we could go for hours and hours. But I really do appreciate the work that your team has put into this massive amount of research that I hope all of our congregations are taking a look at, because it really is significant for our youth and for our young adults. If our listeners want to learn more about the work that you've been doing and your research, where should they go?
Absolutely. So thanks to you, Concordia Publishing House, our large book on the research, Relationships Counts is the name of it, is available for free. We still have some hard copy copies available that can be downloaded, sent to you for free of charge, shipping and everything, as well as there is an electronic version of that can be downloaded through the website as well, the CPH website, I should say. And so that's available. Great stuff, great conversation questions in there just to kind of think through and assess some things, as well as Connected for Life is a resource that we did with CPH as well. That goes into some of those, like I think when we're talking about like planning and some things to think through, that kind of is a more book for that. So to consider like, how do we understand our teenagers? What is our philosophy of Christian education? And then some of those key topics too, volunteers, how do we get a support team? Those types of things gets into a little bit more of those details and planning about how to do that. And then the other place I'd point you is then youthesource.com is our resource website. And what we took the research and then certainly some other feedback we've gotten from LCMS congregations, looked at scripture, our confessions, looked at youth ministry for today. And then we developed what we call the 7 practices of healthy youth ministry. And so we kind of talked about some of those today. And there's kind of some more outline and resources available for that on our website as well there too, for churches who are looking to go a little bit deeper into these topics.
And for our listeners, we'll put links to all of these in the show description so that they can find those quickly. But they are definitely worth checking out, as there's a wealth of really, really valuable information there. Thank you so much for being with us today, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. God bless.
Thanks. And we'll have you back again. And listeners, we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Concordia Publishing House podcast. I pray that this time was valuable to your walk with Christ. We'd love to connect with listeners on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Concordia Pub. Visit cph.org for more resources to grow deeper in the gospel.